Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, the 17th of November, and yes, this is Michael Collins Piper, and no, this is not a rebroadcast. Last week, I mentioned to you that I expected Mark Glenn to be sitting in for me. Mark and I talked about it on the air. I was planning a trip to Iran, but I'm here to tell you I canceled the trip at the very last minute for a variety of reasons, and as a consequence, I am here live tonight. So if you were hoping against hope that it was going to be Mark Glenn so you could call in and give him hell for criticizing the Old Testament, well, Mark is not here tonight. I am here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope you will consider it a surprise delight. That's what Ellie Mae Clampett on the old Beverly Hillbillies used to call one of her culinary concoctions. So just consider it a surprise and a delight, a surprise delight. Sometime if I'm in the mood and I have the time, I'll tell you the very funny, true story of how my first German Shepherd, big old Baron, held Nancy Culp at bay. You remember Nancy Culp. She played Miss Hathaway, the banker's secretary on the Beverly Hillbillies. Well, one time, Miss Hathaway, that is Nancy Culp, and my German Shepherd had an encounter right on my family's front lawn. So if you can imagine Miss Hathaway being held at bay by a very large, loud German Shepherd, with a snarl that my father always said was the Philadelphia snarl. Well, you'll just have to wait for some other time for me to tell you that story. But it's a funny story. If they ever write a biography of Nancy Culp, I suppose I'll have to get in touch with the biographer and tell them the story. I never met Nancy Culp, but my German Shepherd sure did. He was a good dog. All my dogs and cats have been good dogs and cats. I had a couple gerbils, too, and a hamster and some turtles, and had a couple fish as well. All good animals. Four-legged, much better than the two-legged that we deal with on this show. And then, of course, we deal with parasites, too. The amoebas of the world. We talk about those creatures as well. Well, I have a few items to run through with you here this evening. They're all interrelated, actually. They're all interrelated. They're all appearing in several Jewish newspapers that came out this week. They all touch on the question of religion, and at the same time, they all touch on things that I hear frequently discussed on internet radio and on the internet, talked about with great fervor, but a lot of times without great understanding behind it. So it's kind of interesting, I think, from that perspective, because you can put it into a context that a lot of people can understand, particularly people who are listeners to internet radio, including this radio program and this network, and people who also allow themselves to be swept up in propaganda and misinformation and disinformation put out by the likes of that parasite Eric Hufschmidt, to name just one of the more odious. But in any case, I am here tonight live, coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. AmericanFreePress.net. And when we come back, I'm going to bring you an update about Willis Cardo and his introduction to Imperium. We discussed that last week in this program, sparked by a call from one of our listeners. All right, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. If you want to call in here tonight, speak out, speak your mind. The number here is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Incidentally, if you didn't hear it, I would strongly suggest that you check out the archives here at RBN and listen to the Liberty Hour of this past weekend with Mark Glenn and Phil Turney and their guest, Michelle Lady Renouf of London. Lady Renouf is a very pretty lady, very nice lady, very articulate lady, lady in every sense of the word. And I've had the pleasure of meeting her several times, once in Iran, once in Washington, D.C., once in Cincinnati, and I think somewhere else as well. But in any case, she is one of the most outspoken advocates for freedom of speech walking the face of the planet today. She is an actress. She's very well known in British commercials. Very familiar face. She's a bit of a socialite. I don't like that term, but that is an accurate description of her. And she has been up there, up front, fighting on behalf of intellectual freedom. In the case of Frederick Toben, David Irving, Ernst Sundel, Jürgen Graf, you name it, all of these people that have been so persecuted by those who would rule our planet and who do everything in their damnedest to misrule to the extent that they do rule our traditional enemy, as David Irving would call them. In any case, a very interesting interview with Lady Renouf, and I do strongly urge you to check it out. I have in front of me another item, which I meant to mention last week. I may have started to and didn't complete it. And if I did mention it, it's worth mentioning it again. Some months ago, there was this character, a retired Navy commander, who was part and parcel of this scheme to suggest that Muslims were infiltrating the U.S. military and intelligence establishment. Basically, the story revolved around the fact that there was some Muslim imam who was a military chaplain who was connected to somebody who was connected to somebody who was connected to somebody. And this retired Navy commander cranked up this theory that the Muslims were taking over the U.S. intelligence and diplomatic and military establishment. And people like Senator John Kyle of Arizona and Joe Lieberman of Connecticut were promoting this man's lies, obvious lies. Well, this Navy commander, his name was Charles Coughlin. Unfortunately, the same name as the great radio broadcaster, Father Charles Coughlin of the 1930s and early 1940s. Just a coincidence. Well, Mr. Coughlin and his wife have been indicted. Federal charges of mail fraud, theft of public money, and filing fraudulent claims in connection with a scheme that helped him pay off auto loans and buy a $1 million house. He had been facing a civil suit from the federal government on these charges, but now it's been cranked up into a full-fledged criminal case. What's interesting is that Mr. Coughlin had claimed that he was badly injured when American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001. Well, we're not here to debate whether it was a plane or a missile or something else that hit the Pentagon, but this is what he said, folks, okay? He was awarded a Purple Heart for his injuries and a Meritorious Service Medal for his conduct that day. Well, it turns out that the injuries that he claimed he experienced that day appear to have been injuries that he experienced back in 1998. According to the Washington Post story about this, Coughlin, when he sought compensation from the government for his injuries, said that the injury substantially altered his life, making it impossible for him to run in marathons or play baseball or basketball and lacrosse. In fact, Coughlin ran the New York City Marathon in under 4 hours just 2 months after the attacks. He also continued to play lacrosse and basketball. Well, they should have indicted him for his lies about the Muslim takeover of the U.S. government. It's almost as bad as the stories that the Arabs control Hollywood. In any case, just thought that was kind of interesting. I do believe maybe I did mention it, but like I say, it's one of those stories that's worth mentioning again, just because, well, sometimes liars get their comeuppance in ways that you don't quite expect. Ah, yes, back to the story about Willis Cardo supposedly not having written the introduction to the book Imperium, a book which he himself popularized. It was written by the late Francis Parker Yockey. Well, folks, first of all, I talked to Willis about this the other day, and I told him that we had received a phone call from somebody who had repeated this story, which has been circulating for years, that Willis didn't write the introduction, and as I noted at the time, that even if Willis hadn't written that introduction, he has written so much else that is so tremendous and has been responsible for publishing and republishing hundreds of books, thousands of magazines and newspapers and journals and newsletters, many of which first introduced many, 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 many people, including probably many of our listeners, if not most of our listeners tonight, to the truths that the mass media in this country work ever so strenuously to keep under wraps. That having been said, Willis said quite emphatically and pointed out this, that number one, he was the one who met Francis Parker Yockey at the San Francisco City Jail. He visited Yockey when Yockey was in jail, after having been picked up by the federal authorities at the prompting of groups such as the Anti-Defamation League. Willis met Yawkey at the San Francisco City Jail, went to visit him, and then it was a day or so later that Yawkey committed suicide or was murdered. Probably committed suicide, but we don't know. We never will know. Those who were responsible or knew what really happened aren't saying. But in any case, Willis then proceeded to make the arrangements for republishing Yawkey's book. It had been published once before in a very limited edition, but Willis arranged with a friend of his, as I do recall, his name was Charles Smith, to publish the first edition that Willis wrote an introduction to. In any case, the person who was alleged by our caller to have written that introduction, based upon information that had been passed on him, Revelo Oliver, never met Francis Parker Yawkey. And at the time Willis published the book, Willis had never been in touch with Revelo P. Oliver, and Oliver had absolutely nothing. Oliver hadn't even reviewed the introduction to the publication. But again, this is just one of those funny little stories that gets in circulation, and then people believe it and use it for negative purposes. But that's the real story, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention because I had discussed that broadcast with Willis, and in fact, I mentioned to Willis just yesterday, I believe it was, that I definitely want to have him on this show because there's a lot of people who would like to talk to him and has a lot of memories of very interesting people he's known over the years. Many people you've heard of, many people you may not have heard of, but who are people who were of real substance and who played a major part in at least trying to bring down the powers that be, so to speak, in this country. Well, speaking of the powers that be in this country, this brings us to these clippings that I pulled out of these various Jewish newspapers that I just picked up today and scanned through over dinner. Now, there's a very interesting character out of New York named Michael Steinhardt. He's a billionaire, one of the richest men in the country. Mr. Steinhardt happens to be Jewish. He's the son of a highly regarded Jewish gangster. His father was the major fence of stolen jewelry on behalf of the Lansky Crime Syndicate in New York for many, many years. And with his father's mob money, Michael Steinhardt made his way through business school and emerged as a very, very successful businessman. Now, what's interesting about Mr. Steinhardt, he's a former hedge fund manager. I don't even know what the hell hedge funds are, ladies and gentlemen, but apparently they're not too nice. I've never claimed to have any knowledge of finance or economics, but I know that those who do know about it say hedge funds are bad. Well, Michael Steinhardt's one of the big shot men in the Fed hedge fund business, or he was. And now he has this massive fortune. And what's interesting about Mr. Steinhardt is that he proudly and loudly proclaims himself to be Jewish, but not religious. Now, why is that interesting? Because there are many, many people who believe that being Jewish is synonymous with being deeply religious. And then I've heard people say, well, if they've given up their religion, then they're not Jewish. Well, Mr. Steinhardt, he says he's not religious, but he proudly proclaims himself Jewish. And he is a major contributor to Jewish causes. In fact, his next big project is building Hebrew language charter schools. He wants to talk about building a national network of Hebrew charter schools to advance the concept of building Jewish identity. And this is someone who is not religious. He's also the funder of the now defunct daily newspaper, the New York Sun, which was a very hardline pro-Israel newspaper with kind of Republican leanings. You might call it a neoconservative daily newspaper out of New York. So I guess my point is this, that here is a perfect example of someone who doesn't even consider himself Jewish, doesn't follow the Jewish religious teachings, and yet he is devoted to a Jewish agenda. Now, think about all those people you say who say, oh, well, the Rothschilds are not really Jewish, but they're bad international bankers. Well, no, the Rothschilds are Jewish and devoted Jews and are bad international bankers. What is Michael Steinhardt?
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
One,
the preservation of capital.
Two,
consistent profitability. And
three,
the pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Cardivite is probably the most misunderstood supplement today. Cardivite is packed full of vitamins at cell level to help your whole body function like it used to. Today's diet is lacking in the trace minerals and nutrients our body needs to maintain our good health. Get the toxins and heavy metals out and allow your body to do the job God intended. Made for the heart, Cardivite helps in so many other ways. So order your four-month special of either the capsules or tincture for just $125 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. That toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite, circulation for life.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Okay, another article, which again, seeing the headline gave me a little bit of a jolt because it reminded me that I often hear so much misinformation being bandied about by people talking about the Khazars and about Israel and Orthodox Jews and anti-Zionist Orthodox Jews, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here we go. Here's one for you. Put this in your thinking cap. Or I should say, put your thinking cap on and then take the information for what it's worth. In Jerusalem, in occupied Palestine, what's being described as one of the most sectarian election battles Israel has ever seen, Jerusalem chose a new secular mayor to replace the current ultra-Orthodox one. A businessman named Nir Barkat, one with a right-wing stance toward the Arabs. Okay, now, here's where this gets complicated and which goes to demonstrate that it is not all so cut and dried as so many people of goodwill within the Patriot movement, within alternative internet radio, talk about with such authority but without real knowledge. Constant refrain is, well, the good Torah true Jews are anti-Zionist. Well, here's the thing. In Israel today, these Orthodox Jews, many of them are, in fact, anti-Zionist, even though they live there. But then there are many, many, many other Orthodox Jews who are the strongest supporters of right-wing politics. and people like Benjamin Netanyahu and so forth. On the other hand, here we have an ultra-Orthodox mayor who is in conflict with the secular Jews who don't share all those hardline religious stands, and yet the guy who won, the sectarian candidate, took a hardline right-wing stance towards the Arabs, ticking around the Arabs. So, you know, it's not all as simple as it seems. I hear all these people on the radio talking about, oh well, the Jews in Israel are mostly Ashkenazi, which means they're of Khazar descent, and therefore they're the ones who are the most hardline Zionists. But then again, many of those Ashkenazi Jews in Israel who are both hardline and not so hardline Zionists are both religious and secular. And then again, you find Orthodox rabbis, like the guys in Nutrakarta, who are anti-Zionist, but they are also devotees of the Talmud and are definitely Orthodox in faith. And guess what? Those guys in Nutrakarta are all Khazars. Ashkenazi Jews, Khazars. So again, you know, so many people do not understand so many things about some basic historical facts and yet talk very authoritatively. Unfortunately, that comes as a consequence of the fact that so much misinformation is out there. I don't even think it's disinformation in this case. I think it's misinformation. And these terms are not as easily divided and dissected as a lot of people would like to think. So I guess my basic advice coming out of this is to just say that in the future, before you go to use the term Khazar or Ashkenazi or Orthodox or Zionist or anti-Zionist, you have to really know your facts, and I don't pretend to be an expert on it. I do not pretend to be an expert on it, but I do know a lot of times that I hear people who are otherwise quite expert on a lot of subjects start talking about this particular realm, and they are completely, completely off base. Just the way it is, folks. Not criticizing anybody in particular, because I've heard more than one person bandy about misinformation, and I know it was not done deliberately, but that's just the way it is. I would urge everybody to look at the bigger picture more carefully. I know I catch a lot of hell and upset a lot of listeners by talking about stuff like this and by not going along with the standard phraseology and playing the game. But I'm sorry I'm not going to do it because, number one, I only know what I know, and if I sit here and try to bend my language to appease people who want me to say one thing or another because it's something they've heard somewhere else before, frankly, I would confuse the hell out of myself and also possibly confuse the listeners. I know that if I passed on information which I knew for a fact was misinformation, that I would be doing a disservice. And when someone passes on misinformation that they know to be misinformation, that makes them a disinformation artist, and I don't intend to be that. That's why I take the time to go through things such as this. Maybe I sound pedantic, I don't mean to be, but I think we need to know what we're talking about and talk about it correctly and with facts and with the bigger picture in mind and not some little pet theory. You know, we find this fool Eric Hufschmidt saying, oh, we're not anti-Semitic. Look here, here's these anti-Zionist Orthodox rabbis who are anti-Zionist, and then Hufschmidt goes on to attack the Jews. Well, is he anti-Zionist, or is he anti-Jewish, or does he even know what he believes? Stay tuned. A few more comments, and we'll go to the call. Stay tuned, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Gold has been and remains money, the most important money in the world, the only immutable and lasting currency, potentially the most powerful currency.
The United States military, when it packs the emergency kits of its fighter pilots, does not pack them with U.S. dollars or euros or yuan or yen or any of the paper currencies. It packs them with these little things, 100-year-old quarter-ounce British sovereigns, gold coins. Why is that? That's because at all times and in all circumstances, this remains money.
Call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. Now, this one's a real gem. Okay, today, the Washington Times, this kosher conservative publication published by Korean cult leader Sun Myung-moon, longtime asset of the CIA and Mossad elements, has a big front page headline story saying that Eric Cantor, Republican congressman from Virginia, who is probably the odds-on favorite to be House Minority Whip, second-ranking figure in the House Republican leadership, he says the Republican Party is irrelevant, and the Republican Party has to listen to him, essentially, is what it is, to get the Republican Party back on track so they can take over America again. Well, this is why this is very, very interesting to me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, now, as you know, or maybe don't know, Eric Cantor happens to be an Orthodox Jew. So, in other words, he's a fundamentalist Jew, okay? He's kind of the Jewish equivalent of a quote-unquote Christian Jerry Falwell, so to speak, for want of a better way of putting it. I'm just trying to kind of break it down into a context in which you can look at it. Now, at the same time, the mass media is saying, oh, the Republican Party has got to get away from Sarah Palin and the Christian conservatives. They're saying, hey, Eric Cantor's a great guy, and he'll make a great leader of the Republican Party. Well, now, here's the funny part about it, folks. Eric Cantor is one of the most quote-unquote conservative, quote-unquote right-wing members of Congress. Now, everybody got upset with Sarah Palin because she was pro-life, although how exorbitantly pro-life Sarah Palin really is or was is open to question. There were some doubts about how really hardline she was, but that is the issue, one of the issues at any rate, that was often leveled at Sarah Palin, this Christian dispensationalist, saying, oh, she's anti-abortion, and that runs so counter, so counter to the American way of life, so to speak. Now, I'm not here taking a position for or against abortion. I'm just trying to put it in the context of this media promotion of Eric Cantor. Well, Eric Cantor was rated 100% by the National Right to Life Committee, but he's rated zero by the National Abortion Rights Action League. So, in other words, Eric Cantor has a 100% rating as being anti-abortion. Now, some of you out there are saying, oh, that's really good. That's wonderful. Okay, we're not talking about the abortion issue. We're talking about the way that Eric Cantor is being played. He's being played as some sort of something different from Sarah Palin. The only thing different from between Sarah Palin and Eric Cantor is, well, I guess there's two things. He's a man and she's a woman, and he's Jewish and she isn't. So basically what we're being told is Christians who are against abortion have no business being involved in Republican Party politics, but Orthodox Jews, that is fundamentalist Jews, who are against abortion, just like Sarah Palin, they're just fine and dandy. Now, isn't that interesting? I think that's just damned interesting, ladies and gentlemen. So why is that? Why is it? Why is it? You tell me. I mean, you know, I just find it interesting. Well, one more comment about religion. We have a letter to the editor of the Washington Jewish Week this week from a nice lady. I don't know if she's nice. We have a letter from a lady who's bitching and moaning about Pope Pius XII. She says, during World War II, Pope Pius XII showed his true colors. He did not have any intentions of saving lives. The Holy See stayed neutral at the expense of innocent lives and suffering, blah, blah, blah. The question arises, does Pope Pius XII deserve to be beatified, that is, made a saint by the Catholic Church? Well, it's none of this woman's business, if she's Jewish, as to deciding whether or not the Catholic Church should make a saint out of Pope Pius XII. You can make good arguments one way or the other. I hear some of his supporters say, oh, yes, he saved 6 million Jews, and then I hear others say, oh, he's responsible for the wholesale slaughter of 6 million innocent Jews. Okay, well, it's none of the Jews' business what the Catholic Church does. Now, that's a religious point of view, but here is something that really pissed me off. You know, my father and all of his brothers, three of his brothers, fought in World War II. My father was in the Marines in the Pacific, got hit by shrapnel here and there a couple times, ended up with malaria, spent quite a few months in a veterans hospital, survived the war like all the Piper boys did, you know, but they put their lives on the line to save the Jews. Now, here's this Jewish woman, Eva Hevesi Ehrlich of Rockville, Maryland, saying, the U.S. behavior at the beginning of the war is also questionable. Did this great country live up to the words at the feet of the Statue of Liberty? I do not believe so. Well, she's talking about the beginning of the war, but basically she's saying, here we go again, Holocaust, Holocaust, Holocaust. These damn Christians just let us go to hell in a handbasket. You know what? I'll tell you what. When I think of my dear old grandmother sitting up there in that big old house alone on a hill with her boys all off, one up in Alaska, one in Germany, one flying the Pacific and the Atlantic, and one in heavy combat in the jungles of Asia. When I think of any Jew or anybody else for that matter, but particularly the Jews who are always bitching about the Holocaust and the U.S. didn't do enough. When I think of any Jew who makes remarks like that, I just like to slap them in the face. Slap them in the face, not punch them, slap them, because there's something very demeaning about a slap. And I'd like to have that woman, I don't know how old she is, she might be 20 years old, she might be 80 years old, but I would take a great deal of pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, giving her the back of my hand, particularly the back of my hand with my big diamond ring. Whap! 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 Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I am so damn tired of hearing about the Holocaust. I am so damn tired of this cult of Holocaust being imposed on our people, all people, especially those of us who lost family members in World War II. I've told the story on the air. I remember visiting this old lady at her home, old lady I'd known for years. I used to see her feed her chickens when I was on my way home from school. Yeah, I remember stopping in. Her name was Myrtle, and there was a picture of a very handsome young man in a military uniform, dress uniform, sitting on the dining room table, whatever. And I remember asking her. I said, "Who's that?" She said, "Oh, that's my boy Sam." His name's Sam. I don't remember what his name was, but that's my boy. And she named the boy. I said, "Where is he?" Because I knew all his brothers who were all grown up, old enough to be my father. And she said, "Oh, he got killed in World War II." And that's, I guess, the first time I was ever conscious of knowing someone who had actually lost someone in World War II. And that stuck with me. I couldn't have been more than about 6 or 7 years old. And I think of that old lady who sacrificed her son. And then I hear these Jews, like this woman whose letter I quoted to you. She's not the only one. It makes me sick. It disgusts me. All right. Well, let's go to the calls. We have Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, come on up.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Michael.
How are you, Dave?
Pretty good, Michael. I was going to ask you about the conference there over in Tehran or whatever. But, yeah, that is, Michael, but about that lady there getting you pissed off, that gets me pissed off. This country's been so good to the Jews. I've said many times, every church, whether it's Catholic or Protestant, every denomination has the welcome mat laid out for Jewish people to come to church. We've welcomed them into our country. They've prospered like never before. We went to World War II for them to liberate the concentration camps. And the Mr. Turney was over there, the Liberty Crew, trying to help them during this.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we heard here on this network that, well, the USS Liberty took place 40 years ago. We might as well move on and forget about that, but we can't forget about the Holocaust.
Yeah, so I can't believe what the Jews are doing to our country, Michael. In other words, we've been so good to them, and I hear this crap from these Jews too. They never give us any credit for liberating the concentration camps. I hear this garbage. Yeah, don't you know that a shipload of Jews was turned back from Nazi Germany, Roosevelt or something? Maybe it's true. Maybe one boatload of Jews.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I've told this story in the air, but I'll tell it again. My late friend Jerry Brentar, who was one of the key players in rescuing John Demjanjuk from the hangman in Israel, Jerry Brentar was responsible for clearing refugees to the United States at the end of World War II, and he told me very specifically, he was working, I believe, in France at the time, that he and his other people were under direct orders not to interfere with the international transit of Jews who had been in the Soviet Red Army. If there were any indications of that, those guys were allowed to pass right through and travel over to the United States. Jerry also said quite specifically to me, and I wish he were still alive today to tell the story live on the air, he also told me that there were, I guess, hundreds of boats coming to the coast of France, unloading goods for the black market. Many of these boats, frankly, were owned and run by Jewish entrepreneurs who were shipping money over for the black market. in post-war Europe, which, in fact, according to Jerry and many, many other sources, was largely run by Jewish people who had gotten out of the concentration camps. In any case, after these boats unloaded with their black market goods on the shores of Europe, those boats were bringing back hundreds, obviously grand total of thousands, perhaps millions. We don't know the number. I don't pretend to know the number. Jerry didn't know the number. But millions, let's just say hundreds of thousands, to be on the safe side, hundreds of thousands of undocumented Jews, most of whom were presumably survivors of the concentration camps. They were being brought to the United States and unloaded on American shores, whereas everybody else who was not Jewish was largely being forced to go through a major screening process. Now, this is from someone who was there, who would not lie about it. Jerry Brentar was one of the most honest, decent, truthful, and truth-dedicated people I've ever known, one of the gentlest, kindest people I've ever known, and he witnessed this firsthand. So, again, you know, we see how they even gave these Jewish refugees special privileges, and yet now we're being hammered with the Holocaust that the United States didn't do enough. I'm tired of hearing about it.
You know what I'd say to people that are listening, Michael, is we've shown time and time and time again our goodwill to the Jews. I never show my goodwill to the Jews anymore. I never bend over backwards like most of these Americans to show my goodwill to the Jewish people. As far as I'm concerned, the hell with the Jewish people, as far as I'm concerned, Michael. And it's time that they start bending over backwards, showing their goodwill to us. If we haven't shown our goodwill to them, and if they've repaid us with all this evil, these bastards in this bailout, and they won't even tell us what they're doing with the money. I wanted to mention this to you anyways, Michael. I have this Foreign Affairs magazine from March and April of 2005. And on the back cover, the whole back cover is AIG, okay? And this is what it says. Practically the only risk the AIG companies can't manage is the one you take by going elsewhere. And then
oh, that's a classic, Dave. That is an absolute classic.
Yeah,
you know, AIG is run by, it was run by this guy, Maurice Greenberg, who is a major figure in the Council on Foreign Relations. In fact, he and his Jewish cronies are the guys who really run the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, a lot of people still are stuck on the idea that the Rockefellers control the Council on Foreign Relations. That's not true. The Rockefellers have been out of the loop for a long, long time. They still put in their appearances and so forth, but the CFR has always been an offshoot of the Rothschild family's Royal Institute of International Affairs. And in recent years, these guys like Greenberg, they've been taking over the Rockefeller enterprises, the Rockefeller think tanks, and all these things. But that's classic. They have this big ad on the Council on Foreign Relations magazine saying what a great thing AIG is.
Yeah,
oh, that's
great. The whole page, Michael, and then at the bottom in large letters, it finishes up with AIG, we know the risk.
They know the risk, and they know they'll get bailed out by the American taxpayers. Dave, I'm glad you told me about that. That's classic.
From the March April 2005 issue. In fact,
Dave,
issue...
if you could make a photocopy of that and send it to me, I'd love to get them to publish that in American Free Press. That's just a doozy, as they say.
Well, do you probably have access to it somewhere, Michael? Have the March April 2005 Foreign Affairs. I mean, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, if you would. It would be a lot simpler if you could get around to making a copy of it. I could probably go to a library somewhere, but you've never been to any of the D.C. libraries. But, you know, this is what it all comes down to. You know, there's these double standards, you know, even if 12 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, that doesn't give anybody the moral authority to slam the United States after we sacrificed all of the American men and women who died during that war, not to mention so many, many other people innocent men, women, and children who were incinerated in cities like Dresden, innocent Russian civilians who died during the German invasion of Russia. I mean, you know, so many people died so many places, but all we hear about are the Jews. Dave, thanks for your call. We're going to the break here. When we come back, I think we can squeeze in Carl. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, folks, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We are wrapping up the hour. We've got Carl from Montreal aboard with us. Carl, come on down.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing tonight, Carl?
Well, same as usual, hanging in here, trying to make the best out of, you know, everything.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. I thought you were in Iran because I heard something on the weekend calling in one of the shows. How did that go? Were you there? No,
I didn't. No, that's what I said at the beginning. No, I was scheduled to leave on Saturday, but I did not go. In fact, I heard Mark Glenn had mentioned that on his program, but it's kind of funny. I called Mark shortly thereafter to let him know that I had not. That's why I'm here and he's not.
Oh. Okay. Well, it's kind of good you are here, but Mr. Fernandez sent you an email thinking that you were in Iran, hoping that maybe you could have done something. Well, I don't want to talk too much about it on the air, but... Oh, so it's good I hear you back on your show, though.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of irrelevant. Who did you say sent me an email?
Mr. Ken Fernandez. He's one of the people helping me with my
case. Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, I haven't gotten that email yet, I don't think. I just did a cursory check of my email before I came on
the show. I think
he
sent it to the Trafficant M2 or whatever, the one that was...
Yeah, okay. Well, like I say, sometimes my emails, I find they take a long time to get through. So I'm sure I'll get it eventually, but I'll get back to him when I do.
Oh, another thing. I've been looking at the news, and I think that the Jews are going to start blaming the Christians for a lot of problems and, you know, the power structure, and you're going to see them, start going after religious organizations, targeting them, too. I have my suspicions as why this might happen, you know, like these different Christian groups and others, they might start putting a spin on it that, you know, that these Republicans have to get away from these so-called Christian conservatives, like that Jewish thing you read.
Right,
there's
exactly.
There's going to be more
of
it, how they're going to be pushing this idea to do away with other religions, such as Islam.
Well, you know, I'm glad you point that out, Carl, because that's kind of really what I was saying, but without not saying it, because, you know, if they're saying that Sarah Palin is so bad because of her stance on the issues... Yeah. And they're laying that to her Christianity, and yet here's an Orthodox Jew, Eric Cantor, who has exactly the same positions when it comes to his voting record as Sarah Palin is believed to have, and yet it's quite... See, that's what goes to show you that they really don't care about the issues as much as they care about the bigger picture of control.
I believe this ties in with the end times and how the churches are a little bit wrong. I don't agree with Timothy LaHaye or Jerry Jenkins, but they did write a book series called The Soon Series, in which the world unites under like a one-world government and they abolish religion, outlaw religion as a number one threat to world peace. And I believe there are some people who are pushing this, where you'll have this Jewish utopianist, they will be the only God, and they will have their false Messiah, their false king of the Jews, put in.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, the ultimate purpose is to say that all other religions are bad without really saying anything about Judaism. Islam is bad, Christianity is bad, so therefore let's get away from religion. And in the process, what happens is they water down or otherwise destroy the other religions, and as Max Diamond in his book, Jews, God, and History, predicts, proclaims, propounds. He says, well, in the end, Judaism will be the one religion of the world, the one that all the people of the world will turn to, and the Jews will reign supreme.
Yeah, I believe it ties in somehow with the end times and everything, and they're going to try to outlaw religion. Obama made comments about there's too much religion in the world.
I wasn't aware of that, but if he did say that, he better start looking again and maybe see what bad religions there are in the world and make sure that they don't influence his administration.
There's one more thing I want to get. I know
well, make it quick because I hear that music.
I heard that sent a letter to Mr. Trafficant in prison and he did not get it. And I called his wife and I'm going to have another letter sent to her because the letter
they
I sent...
They censor his mail. All right, well, the music censors us. Have a good evening, folks.
Let me tell you why.